All right, a busy first hour, and we welcome you into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. Chrisello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. finishing up spring training with the Padres. Padres taking on the Seattle Mariners today in the 30th and final spring training game of the year. The Padres are down 7-6. They're batting in the bottom of the ninth.
Happened? They were up 6-2 like 20 minutes ago.
Well, they're losing now. They're trailing 7-6, but the Padres have them loaded with one out in the bottom of the ninth. Former USD star Jack Costello is at the plate for the Friars, and he's just tied it.
Wow, nice job, Jack.
Jack just tied it with a ground out. Fielder's choice ground out.
Hey, it ties it.
It tied it. It's 7-7, two outs. Don't tell me if the last guy up makes out, they're going to just call the final game a tie, but I bet they will.
Wasn't there a tie yesterday, too?
There's been a lot of ties in spring training.
So who's going to win the Cactus League championship?
Nah, the Giants. Giants are 19-6.
Dang.
Yeah.
19-6.
Oh, Giants, Buster Posey and company, Bob Melvin.
Wow.
Running away with it this year.
In this case, I'll say it's a bad sign for them.
Give them the Cactus League trophy. All right. So anyway, Tony will be flying home with the team right after the game, but he'll be in studio with us tomorrow and Wednesday. Then Thursday, it's opening day. Ben and Woods, Braden Surprenant, both broadcasting live from down at Rick's Baja Cantina there, right next to the stadium. And then in the gas lamp, Scraby and I will be on after the game, opening day. We'll break it all down. We'll have the insight for you. I'll actually step aside and let Scraby give you all the opening day insight.
Okay, great.
Because he's now a baseball guy. He knows his game.
Post-game show.
Yeah,
first
we'll be
one
on
of the year.
First one, Thursday night. Friday will be a normal show before the night game. Then Saturday, I was talking about this earlier, and we got rudely interrupted by the Magoon Gwath news.
Magoon.
You just joined us. Magoon Gwath is no longer an Aztec. You are making me laugh. I like that.
That's what I do, Chris.
He's in the transfer portal officially. But yes, Saturday, you and I will be broadcasting down at Tom's in the gas lamp.
Yes. You can join us, as Chris said, this Saturday as we broadcast live at Tom's Watch Bar on 8th and J from 10 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. for the East Village Block Party. Ben and Woods are going to hit the air at 10 a.m., followed by the Braden Surprenant Show, and then Gwen and Chris. I think I'm going to be with Chris on that one. Tony is going to be at the stadium, but we'll be there. Check out all the baseball action while enjoying Blue Moon and Coors Light, along with delicious food like Tom's famous prime rib dip sandwich. That sounds good. That's this Saturday at Tom's Watch Bar on 8th and J Street, brought to you by Blue Moon. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
All right. We'll see you Saturday then out there. And by the way, thanks to everybody who came out Friday to hang out with Scraby at Dave & Buster's.
Oh,
you had
yeah.
a nice, lively turnout
oh,
there.
Yeah. I got a whole speech for the Scrabinators on the Scraby show because that was incredible. I asked people to show up to keep me company, and they didn't just show up. They showed.
They showed out. They showed
up and showed out.
Yeah. Good job by all the Scrabinators and
Seriously.
All the fans that came out to see Scraby on Friday at Dave & Buster's.
That was awesome. Like, beyond awesome.
Yes. Padres did finish their final spring game in a tie. 7-7 with the Mariners. So, spring training.
Kaput.
It's over.
It's all over. Thank goodness.
Yeah, kind of. I hate to say it. I'm so over spring training. It was exciting like on, you know, February 28th when they had the first spring game, but then I was over it by February 29th, which didn't exist, actually. Was there a February 29th this year?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. Mets and Yankees finished their spring in a tie today as well, so we're not alone. All right, going to get into some Daily Gambit stuff here. And again, we're going to have Ryan Finley on at the bottom of the hour. I think most people in the sports world now have heard the awful news of the passing of our friend Bryce Miller. And, yeah, I want to talk about it myself a little later in the show when we have a little more time. You and I kind of sensed from our meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago with Ryan Finley at the the SDFC match that it was, you know, going downhill, unfortunately, rapidly for Bryce Miller. But still, to get the final word Saturday night, it just breaks everybody's heart in our business. And I'm pretty sure that whether you know it or not, Bryce Miller touched you in some way out there.
Yeah.
All you had to do is read one column to be touched, or listen to one Bryce Miller interview on this show or many others.
Yeah.
Such a tremendous guy. 56, far too early.
56? Yeah, I didn't know the age.
Passed away.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, cancer. 56. Saturday night. I found out when I got back to my hotel room after the game Saturday night. Yeah. And I will say, Scraby, among other things, it put a losing a basketball game into proper perspective,
I must tell you. Always does.
But Ryan Finley, the sports editor of the paper, will join us in about a half an hour. I hope you'll tune in or stay tuned in for that, because we will definitely honor Bryce Miller. All right, let's get to some Daily Gambit stuff, such as it were, Scrape.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Now, we do have the 97.3 Tournament Challenge. I, again, appreciate everybody who signed up for that. We had over 75, Chris. I think there was a barrier to entry in the sign-up. I need to go back to the drawing board again.
In terms of getting people involved. People had to go jump through some hoops just to sign up.
One hoop, and I understand that the hoop was... It wasn't difficult, but I understand why it was confusing. So we're going to have to go back to the drawing board.
Well, the only thing I'm happy about, the fact that the number was lower than we wanted, 75 or so.
That's pretty good.
Is that 75 is the lowest I can finish. So, because I'm heading in that direction based on my usual bracket picks.
My bracket started out, I got to say, pretty good through the first 2 days, and then teams started to lose like crazy. Like UNC lost and St. John's lost, and they were both going deep in my bracket. But here's how the standings shook out through the first two rounds. I am tied for 21st right now.
Okay.
Tony is tied for 28th. Chris is tied for 45th.
I'm tied for 45th. That's better than being alone in 45th. I have company.
And it's hard for me to say this. Braden Soprenant leads us all.
He's leading.
He's leading us all.
My goodness.
All. Everybody.
It's only the first weekend, Scraby.
I know, but there's a writer, Courtney Cronin. She's sometimes on Around the Horn.
I've seen her picks. She's like 99.9%. She's only missed one game so far.
Her picks are awesome.
She's only missed one game in the entire bracket,
That's
I think,
insane.
So far. Yeah, I looked at her bracket yesterday in awe. And in major jealousy.
Yeah.
Like, how does one do that?
Raymond said, fourth place, baby. Congrats,
right.
Raymond.
Good for you, Raymond. All right. Well, we'll keep that going.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what we got for tonight. LSU women, after disposing of the Aztecs, are in action as we speak against Florida State. But they just started, Scraby.
Yeah,
so it's not too early to bet on this one for us. They would not allow this.
No, this is not a regular bet.
No, in normal betting areas, but we'll allow it. LSU is favored by 10.5 over Florida State in their second round game. It's like early in the game. It's 7-6 right now. LSU is going to get 30, unless I just don't understand basketball, because I watched Florida State play the other night before our game, and they're quite good.
But
LSU is insane. So I expect LSU to pull away.
Yeah, I do too. I've been watching Florida State take shots. They've been taking some really bad shots.
That's because LSU makes you do that.
Okay, it's not because they
No, they don't want to take bad shots. UConn, the Lady Huskies, are 29.5 a little later in their second round match against SDSU.
South Dakota State.
Correct.
I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. No, they did not let the Aztecs back in the tournament and place them against UConn. 29.5. This is a second-round NCAA tournament game, and this talks about what you said, the gap between the greats and the have-nots.
I mean, South Dakota State.
South Dakota State, I think, only lost one or two games the whole year.
But who are they playing?
Not UConn.
North Dakota?
Maybe.
I'm sorry to all the Dakotans out there.
Yeah, you just ripped on everybody from
Dakota. Family, I have family in Fargo, so I'm allowed to do it.
All right. Who do you like here?
I'm going to go UConn.
I'm going to go UConn also. I'm sorry, South Dakota State. Lakers are 4.5 over Orlando in Orlando. And where is Tony Gwynn Jr. a day and a half after the Bulls throttle the Lakers by 31 points Saturday night?
What is it? Josh Giddey almost had a quadruple-double?
Quadruple-double.
Two steals away from it.
The Bulls just annihilated the Lakers Saturday night.
Did LeBron play in that game?
Yes.
Wow.
Everybody played. They all came back. The Lakers all came back to health. And
wow.
The Bulls just destroyed
them. Look at your Bulls, Chris.
I'm telling you, they're on a roll. Lakers tonight, do they bounce back against Orlando? Yes, they do. J.J. Redick's been screaming at them for 2 days straight. Who do you like?
I'm going to go Orlando.
Take the Magic.
It never works out for me when I pick the Lakers.
Denver is 3 over the Bulls. Bulls go from the Lakers up to altitude against Denver tonight. I don't think Jokic is playing yet for Denver. That's why the spread's so low.
So you're going to go Bulls?
It's your pick first. Oh. I'm not going to let you in on my pick yet.
I'm going to go Bulls.
You are. You're staying with them.
Yes.
I'll take Denver. The Bulls used to lose in Denver even when they had Michael Jordan. They never could win there. Jason Tatum points at Sacramento. Ant-Man points at Indiana.
Hmm.
I'll take Ant-Man because Indiana plays the highest scoring games in the league. So I say Ant scores more.
All right. Usually choose the Ant-Man, but I'll go Tatum.
You go Tatum for
fun.
And Giannis, 51.5 points, rebounds, assists. 51.5 at Phoenix tonight. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's great. 51.5.
Say, you know, he's going to have like 25, you know, 15 and 10. I don't know.
By the way, why is there always so much drama with the Bucks roster and guys not getting along?
I don't know.
It's always like that. I'm going to go over, though.
Over for Giannis tonight. Phoenix also gives up a lot of points. I'll say over, too. All right. That's our daily gambit.
Okay.
What else? There was something else I wanted to talk about when we come back. Oh, I do.
I think we'll go for it. What do you want to talk about?
What do you got?
Well, I was
going to go back to the tournament.
Yeah, I want to go back to the tournament and ask if Mr. Maryland Terrapin, I can't remember his name, Derek. What was
Queen.
It? Queen. Derek Queen. Did he travel? Because I was watching the game and said, that's a travel. No one else thought it was a travel. We have our own referee here in studio to ask if it was a travel or not.
Did Colorado State get hosed is what you're asking me?
Yeah, I mean, don't tell Dan Hurley that because he'll start screaming around the arena about how they got hosed. But I think Colorado State totally got hosed.
How did UConn get hosed?
Was he upset about something? We'll talk about it in the Big Five.
Okay. More Gwen and Chris then after traffic.
From the out of bounds to the freshman Queen, who's cheap, floats it. Yeah! Buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that was the shot that broke the hearts of Colorado State yesterday. Maryland moving on to the Sweet 16. 72-71 over the Rams. She said that the player there, Derek Queen, said he got the ball and he was driving. He was not driving. He was walking. And he was walking. And he was walking and walking some more.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I just simply don't care what anybody says. I mean, that is a travel by a mile. And
we now go to our resident
referee. I just
have
to make it official.
Chris Sello.
Okay, yeah. Now you can make it official.
I will say that would have been really tough for an official to wave that off and say, no basket, game over. But traveling is traveling, and that wasn't even really close in my estimation. Now, Gene Steratore, who is, you know, you talk about God among officials.
He really is.
Right? Gene, he said that it wasn't a travel because the way that the player caught the ball and gathered the ball and had control and this and that. I'm like, but he still took three steps without dribbling.
Yeah.
And
he ran towards the hoop.
Whether or not he gathered it or not, there's no official that can take the time to sort all that out. What you should be able to see as an official is a guy picking up the basketball and taking three large strides before he shoots the ball. So, you know, I what can I tell you? They missed that, I think. And not only did it cost Colorado State the game, it cost them their coach.
I mean, that was already a done deal.
I know, you're right. Nico Medved was leaving probably either way.
He was probably relieved.
Yes, he officially left today and went to Minnesota. I will say this, in defense of Maryland fans, which there's probably a few out there, earlier in the game, the star player for Colorado State, Neek Clifford, flat out elbowed a Maryland player right in the face. And he should have been, honestly could have been ejected from the game. It was that bad. It was that unwarranted. And the officials didn't see it. And the replay people didn't see it. And the, I don't know, whoever watches this stuff, nobody ever saw it.
How did they not see it?
And Maryland never asked for a review. And he just flat out got away with it. And I'll tell you one thing, that would have changed the game dramatically if that guy had been kicked out, which he easily could have been.
Yeah.
So things have a way of evening out, even in the craziest of circumstances. So we'll say that.
I just don't understand. We talk about traveling in the NBA. We talk about traveling in college basketball. How do we not know one of the most fundamental rules in sports and when it's being the rules being broken? Because I saw that play, immediately said, that's going to be traveling. And then they're all celebrating and no one did anything. So,
well, you have an ally in Steve Kerr, right?
Steve Kerr came out
and said it's time to start calling this again.
Yes.
They are making a mockery of it right now, both pro and college players. The NBA players, the biggest mockery they make of it is when they catch the ball 10 feet in front of the three-point line and take three steps back to shoot a three-pointer.
That is funny.
You've got to call traveling.
You do.
You've got to call it. And if you start calling it, they'll stop doing it. That's how that works. If you call it the first few times, everybody's going to bitch and moan.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, they'll stop. And they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
They're going to keep taking three steps because they can.
Right. You shouldn't be allowed to take three steps back just to shoot a three-point shot. That's not how that should work. But I don't know. We'll see. Traveling is not called. And I don't care for, you know, I think it's kind of an ugly stain on the game a little bit. Not ugly's too harsh of a word, but it's one of the things that's a little unsettling about watching NBA and college basketball now is to watch these guys travel and get away with it every single time.
And then games just end because, you know, well, without even a thought.
That game did. Anything else from the Sweet 16 stand out?
You know, I got to say this. This has been a very boring March Madness in regards to drama.
There's only been, in my estimation, through the first weekend, two upsets. The one was McNeese beating Clemson.
Yep.
And forgive me if I don't share the same enthusiasm as the rest of the world that McNeese's ball boy or student manager carries a radio out before the game and has seven NIL deals because of it.
It's ridiculous.
Who cares?
I don't know.
I kept looking at this guy going, what is the attraction?
I'm with you. I don't get it either.
He has seven NIL deals. They say he makes $1 million.
For what?
And their coach, McNeese, just left after the game. He signed at some other school. I can't keep track of these coaches move faster than the players. But the kid's going along with him. So he's not at McNeese anymore.
Oh, no,
he's at the next place.
He's denying it.
He's denying that he's leaving?
Oh. He actually said to ESPN, I'll meet with my family and see what's the best decision for me.
Oh, my goodness.
This dude is not even a player.
Not even a player. He's just a kind of a heavy-set kid who wears yellow sweats. What is the big deal?
Well, it's because...
What is the attraction? Can you explain? I mean, there's a lot of heavy-set kids that are student managers.
You know what? I'm a heavy-set kid that could have... I'll take $1 million if you want to give it to me.
Yeah, so that was the one upset. And the other upset was the Sauce beating St. John's. And I hate to give credit to John Calipari because I'm not a fan, but that Arkansas team lost its top two scorers during the season.
Yeah.
And they were buried in like 17th place in the SEC. They rallied to finish maybe 11th, which is good enough, I guess, to get in the tournament. But then you beat Kansas and you beat St. John's. It's pretty legit. Those are legit wins.
I trusted Rick Pitino, and he didn't come through for me.
Well,
I thought St. John's was going to make a run. They were looking really good.
They were. Rick Pitino is under major criticism because he sat his star player the last 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Now, you know that I'm not a Pitino fan.
Yeah.
But I'm quickly becoming one. I thought it took incredible fortitude on his part to sit a kid, not because he was 3 of 17 shooting. And he didn't say this, but and I'll explain why I'm saying this in a minute. He sat that kid because you could see that kid was completely out of it. He was not engaged in the game. He was thinking of only one thing, and that was, man, I can't make a shot. And you could see it on his face.
You could.
And so Pitino took him out and didn't bring him back in, not because he wasn't making shots, because he wasn't contributing to the team.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is go back to that clip, the tweet that was put out about a month ago of Rick Pitino explaining to his kids that we don't care if you miss shots. Get in there and fight and find a way to do something to win a game.
Yes.
That's what Rick Pitino is about. He wants you to do what you can to win the game, even if you're missing shots. That kid wasn't doing it. Pitino is taking endless from people that don't understand what it's all about. And he sat this kid out because the kid was not contributing. He mentally was not there. You could see it in his face. And if I could see it on TV, I'm pretty sure Pitino could see it right there.
You could definitely tell.
So he took him out. And he's facing all the criticism, but he did the right thing in my mind. He really did. That's the lesson players need to learn. You got to compete, even if it's not going your way. The team is more important.
Yep.
And that was what Pitino's message was, and I commend him for sitting that kid out.
Me too.
Even though he's being criticized all over sports for it.
Well, he's actually maybe teaching a little bit of... What's the word I'm looking for, Chris?
A lesson?
He's teaching him a lesson. I don't know. He's doing something that people don't do anymore because you're afraid to get crushed by the media
and everything. That's right. You're afraid you're going to get criticized.
Didn't you play that guy? Well, because you know what? He wasn't helping the team. And my thing is, you're not helping the team, you're out.
He wasn't.
Someone is actually sticking to their word for once.
Loved it. So Pitino's moving up my list quickly. With that move.
That's a strange sentence 10 years ago to say, but now?
Yeah, would never have said that.
I mean, perspective is big for people.
I like what Pitino did. Now, though, I'm going to say one last thing about Pitino. He's won a couple of NCAA titles, so that kind of gives him a little more leverage than a lot of other coaches might have.
True.
To sit their best player out of the game.
He's been there, done that.
He's been there and done it. But I commended him for that. And, you know, he's taken a lot of it from everyone. I don't think people understand the bigger message that Pitino was trying to send there.
I do too. And it really does the rest of the team.
I don't think it cost his team the game either. I really don't. I think Arkansas was going to win the game. And if that kid was in there, I don't think it would have helped because he was playing terrible. He wasn't doing anything. Anyway.
If you're going to be like all sad about it too, just go sit on the bench and be sad.
He was. Did you see him sitting on the bench?
He was probably like, what in the world is happening?
He had a glazed look
on
his
face. Looking at me.
Look, we say the same thing about NBA guys who average 30 a game. So what? You still got to go out and perform. You don't just deserve to be in there because of your scoring average. You should be in there because you're playing well and contributing. But not too many coaches really follow that.
What do pitchers tell us all the time?
I liked it.
That their best outings in their mind are the outings that they don't have their stuff and they find
you
a way to get through it.
That's exactly what Pitino was saying in that speech, and he backed it up.
Yeah.
By not playing the kid at the end of the game.
What a novel concept.
Way to go, Rick. As a matter of fact...
Ricky!
As a matter of fact, take him out of the book entirely.
Whoa!
Remove Pitino from the book.
Wow, just one season.
Remove Pitino from the book. He's on my good side for that move.
There's plenty of others.
There's plenty of room. Yeah, there's plenty of others still in the book. All right, but you're right. The NCAA tournament, largely ho-hum in terms of upsets, and not a single Cinderella is left.
No.
Because every team in there is from a power conference. So we don't have that same dynamic that we like to have going into the second weekend.
I'm okay with it because when, like, what was it, St. Francis or Loyola of Chicago gets all the way to Elite Eight and then they get crushed, it's like, all right, well, their run's over. Now we just have a bad basketball game we're gonna watch. Really good team against a team that finally came back.
How about when somebody like San Diego State, though, makes it all the way to the finals?
Well, then, I mean, they kept winning. And yes, they did. It's not like they got blown out by UConn in the national championship. They were just behind, what? What was the final score? Do you remember?
Yeah, it ended up being about 14, 15 points, but they were down 5 with about 4 minutes to go.
Exactly. They had a shot right there.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Ryan Finley, special interview with him, the sports editor of the Union Tribune, on our lost friend, Bryce Miller, who passed over the weekend. Stay tuned for it. It's coming up next. Hi, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 3:37 is the time, Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. working his way back from Peoria. Padres finished up spring training today. Played the Mariners to a stalemate. 7-7 final in the 30th and final spring training game. A couple of days off for the Friars. And then it gets real. Thursday against the Atlanta Braves. Opening day right here on 97.3 The Fan. First pitch just after 1 o'clock. And make sure on your way home after opening day, Scraby and I will be on to break it all down for you.
After Sammy Lev.
After Sammy Lev breaks it down first.
Yep.
We have the post-game show coming your way on Thursday. Pretty excited about the start of the baseball season, although the Padres begin play already a game back of the Dodgers in the NL West. Speaking of the Dodgers, did you hear this news about Mookie Betts?
Yeah, he's really sick.
Starting to get a little concerning, I must say.
There was a bad virus that went around baseball here in spring training, at least in the Arizona camps. Because I know I almost said 49ers. Some of the Padres out there had it pretty bad.
They did. Betts said he feels okay, but he can't eat. So that's the problem.
That's the definite problem. I don't know what I would do.
He's lost 15 pounds, maybe 25.
He doesn't have weight to lose.
He was 175 before. They say he's about 150 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little concerning. Mookie Betts, we'll see. He didn't play in either of the two games in the Tokyo Dome and is still recovering. All right, Padres also named the 13 players, not the entire pitching staff yet, but the 13 players chosen by Mike Shildt and company today. We'll discuss that again further in case you missed it. But suffice to say, Brandon Lockridge was kind of the final guy on the roster. And I think that's surprising to some people.
A little bit.
Maybe to a lot of people. Connor Joe, not on the opening day roster. Tyler Wade didn't make it either and has to go on waivers. So there were tough decisions and maybe a little surprising to some people. The decisions that were made. All right, are we ready for some traffic? All right, and then we're going to visit with Ryan Finley, the heartbroken, like the rest of us, sports editor of the San Diego Union-Tribune. That's coming up after traffic. About 10 years ago, Ryan Finley, the sports editor of the San Diego Union-Tribune, is going to join us here in just a second. But I wanted to share this before we bring Ryan on. About 10 years ago, Jay Posner, then the sports editor of the Union Tribune, asked me to cover the horse racing at Del Mar during one of the summer meets there. And that was a lot of fun. I was out there every day and up in the UT had its own little box upstairs and watched the races and write about what was going on. And one day they sent out a new sports writer, a new columnist that had just been hired from Iowa, and his name was Bryce Miller. And I got to tell you, Bryce didn't really know a lot about horse racing when he first came out that day. And we talked, and boy, it was nice to meet him. And went down in the backstretch and interviewed a whole bunch of trainers. And by the time that summer was over, man, Bryce Miller loved horse racing. Man, he was into it, and he was so into it that when they had a tragic fire a few years after that and some horses were killed, not at Del Mar, at a nearby track, Bryce Miller wrote about that, and he ended up winning an Eclipse Award for his reporting, which is the highest honor in all of horse racing.
Wow.
That was part of the Bryce Miller story. And he passed away on Saturday at the age of 56. And that's why Ryan Finley, the sports editor of the UT, is nice enough to join us. Ryan, we are all completely heartbroken at this news. This is much too soon to lose a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Yeah, thank you for having me on and for taking some time to talk and to think about Bryce. Yeah, it's been a rough, couple weeks. As Bryce wrote about, and as you know, he was diagnosed with muscle invasive bladder cancer after we all returned home from the Final Four in 2023. He hadn't been feeling well when he got home and, went to the doctor, and months later, this was sort of the discovery. And, he wrote at length about his treatment and some of the stuff that he had gone through. And, up until, two or three days before he ended up going to the hospital, he was writing for us. He was in Peoria, at this time last month, writing stories on, Connor Joe and Jason Hayward and all those guys. And, to use a horse racing term, Bryce went to the post, every day, when he didn't feel good, when he had doctor's appointments, when he was scared, when he was tired. Bryce loved the job. He loved to write. He loved the work. And just like you said, a wonderful human being with a great work ethic. And, I miss him, but I know that our readers are going to miss him more just because of all the things that he brought to our paper.
And to our community, I mentioned it earlier, Ryan. I mean, he touched all of us in this profession, but also people that are listening. They heard Bryce Miller on our show dozens of times, and he always, took the time to be present in one of those interviews. Like, he looked forward to it and gave us everything that he had and great insight and humor. You talked about, when he was first diagnosed a couple of years ago, he became a bit of an inspiration to a lot of us because he was willing to write about it and share what he was going through. And I've always felt that unselfishness in somebody can go a long way helping somebody else out there who might feel lonely going through the same thing, or might feel like they're scared, or they don't feel like they have anybody in their corner. And I thought that was one of his great gifts the last couple of years, that he shared what was happening with him with the rest of us.
Right. Well, and you know why he did that? It was because in his reporting and in his writing for years and years, he would talk to all these other people about what got them through and about the courage that they had. And he wrote about this. He drew on that when he was diagnosed with cancer that he knew was, at the very least, going to be a very serious cancer. He drew inspiration from, he talked about going to see Meb in Eritrea, about Bruce Fauci with the things that he had gone through, with other, sort of inspirational figures from throughout San Diego. He drew on them and on their stories, when he needed to sort of get his nerve up for a treatment or a procedure that wasn't going to be particularly fun. And so, I think that he felt that he owed it to other people in our community to write about what he had been going through and, how he kept going. And, I'll say this, as somebody who talked to Bryce, just about every day he was working when he went through his treatment. He would tell you all about it if you asked, and, he'd tell you about the science and everything else. But, he really he tried so hard not to let it define him. He was a world traveler. Even when he was sick and undergoing treatment, he had so many interests outside of San Diego and outside of sports. And he could still be a fan. One of the things that I really like about him, and it's hard because I keep referring to him in present tense. One of the things I like about him was, he asked for a couple days off on the weekend because he wanted to go see Caitlin Clark play in L.A. He was from Iowa. She went to Iowa. He didn't want to go write a story on her. He didn't want to go sit courtside and try to come up with how this affects San Diego. He just wanted to go watch her so he could say he did, because he was a fan. And, you know, he had a little bit of that wonder still that I think in sports writing, unfortunately, kind of gets, you know, pounded out of us over the years. He was able to step back and appreciate cool things. He used the word cool a lot. You know, when we were at the Final Four, you know, it was the first time I had spent a lot of time with him. I can't tell you how many times we looked at each other from, you know, center court of the Dome in Houston, the NRG Arena or whatever it was, the Dome there, and being like, God, this is cool, you know? And he never lost that sense of what he got to do for a living was really fun and really cool.
Definitely. We're talking to Ryan Finley, San Diego Union Tribune, here on 97.3 The Fan about Bryce Miller. He passed away over the weekend. Very sad for a lot of people here in San Diego. But we actually caught up, Ryan, Chris and I did, at the SDFC game a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you were telling us some of the things. We were just talking about Bryce a little bit, and you were talking about how he was never afraid to go up and ask someone for an interview. And Chris and I both looked at each other and said, well, that's why we're not doing sports writing, because we don't like doing that. But for someone who wants to go into sports writing, how can they emulate what Bryce did to make them a good writer?
Like intervene. He had story and columns where he would say, oh, yes, I was sitting at so-and-so's house and talking for a few hours.
Yeah.
We're like, who gets invited to people's house to do
Bryce
interviews?
Miller does.
The Bryce Miller did, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
He did. He did. And, you know, that's fearless in a way. And it's funny to in the scope of what we're talking about, you know, fear shouldn't be, hey, I'm afraid to go up and talk to somebody. But it's hard. You guys have been there. I've been there.
Yeah.
Not only to be able to go approach somebody and talk to them, but to spend time with them and get to know them and build their trust. You know, it's hard, especially when you're dealing with professional athletes and coaches. You know, it's hard to build the trust of somebody when you're in the media. You're viewed differently by these guys. You know, you're viewed as somebody who could potentially, you know, write something that could cause, you know, a giant pain for them, you know, and Bryce was just always, he said yes, you know, that I think that I included something like that in the obituary that we ran today, you know. He said yes to things, you know, hey, you want to go fishing? Sure. You know, you want to go hunting? Yes. You know, and he got to know, I think, so many of his best sources. He got to know them, you know, sort of outside the stadiums and the arenas. You know, he and Dick Enberg would go to breakfast. You know, that's what I said to him when I first got to know Bryce. I said, you got to go to breakfast with Dick Enberg 10 times, 12 times, whatever it was. You know, I was like, did you ask him about this and this and this? And, you know, my advice, I guess the lesson that Bryce has taught me too is, you know, to always say yes to something new and something different. Bryce's magic, what made him so good at his job, wasn't what he could do from a Padre game or what he could do from the Final Four, as cool as we all thought that was. It was, hey, Bryce, you know, I need something on the San Diego Mojo, for instance. And he'd go out and he found a story that was just amazing, right? He talked to their two new owners and found really something great out of it. Or he would go out to Del Mar and say, I'm going to get there early. I'm going to find something. I'm going to hunt for something. And, you know, those were when we got Bryce's best stories, was when he would just kind of go someplace where no other media person was, go someplace that wasn't part of the scrum, wasn't part of the press conference, and he would just go find things on his own. And all of my favorite Bryce stories start that way, with him telling me at 8 in the morning that he's going to go hunting for something. Hmm. And by the end of the day, he had a story that was the best thing in our paper.
Hmm. Talking to Ryan Finley, San Diego Union Tribune, about Bryce Miller. And my last day, I wanted to tell this story to you, because not many people know this. I just told Chris for the first time before the show. But last year, when Bryce took a trip down to Patagonia, Argentina area in South America, and I texted him to come on the show, not knowing that he was in South America at the time. But he texted me back. He said, hey, I would love to, but, you know, the reception's not that great down here in Patagonia. And I thought he was joking. And then he started sending me pictures of him down there in Argentina and everything. And I'm just telling this story and relaying this story because people do not get back to you about interviews if they're not going to do it, let alone someone who's in Patagonia searching for cell phones signal. So I just wanted to share that with you and share that with the listeners, that's the type of guy that Bryce is and was.
You know, he lived life. One of my colleagues told me that the other day, you know, while I'm here worrying about getting a paper out, you know, Bryce was out there living and you know, he traveled everywhere. know, he went to Korea with the Padres last year, came home, took like, you know, a week in San Diego, and then flew to Japan for fun. He explored. You know, he loved the world. He loved people. And, you know, that's one of the lessons from his life that I will take with me, which is, you know, maybe shut the laptop every once in a while and go meet somebody or go someplace new.
That's a really good point.
I think that's something that in our business, you know, when you do what you love, it doesn't feel like work. But, you know, Bryce was conscious, very conscious about, hey, I'm going to, you know, unplug for a week and go fishing, or I'm going to travel someplace I've never been before. Because, you know, that was just the way he was. And, you know, he covered 6 Olympics. You know, he's been to countless dozens and dozens of countries. And, you know, I think that that's a really good way to live life.
Your article on, you know, today was absolutely incredible. And I want everybody to take a minute to read it, whether it's online or you go pick up a paper today. Read what Ryan, his account of the life and times of Bryce Miller. And there's a picture of him here holding the fish. He looks about as happy as anybody ever could. The services are pending. We had brought up the website a couple of weeks ago for his family that was, you know, needing donations and stuff to provide for his care. I imagine that is something that we can still do to help out, even at this point. Do you remember what, Scraby, you put that up on the webpage, didn't you?
I have to.
Yeah, it's a GoFundMe. Yeah, it's a GoFundMe.
Okay, GoFundMe. Yeah,
I think that you could Google GoFundMe and Bryce Miller, and things will come up.
I'll tweet it out
over
as well.
Over the last 3-4 weeks, I got to know his family really well. His family and friends, you know, stopped what they were doing in life and came here to be by his side, and he had dozens and dozens of people visiting. And, you know, that obviously is expensive. And while we were hoping that money would go toward, you know, recovery, you know, I still think that a donation there is a really good thing to do if you love Bryce or if you just even appreciated his work.
Well, Ryan, we did love him, and we appreciate you coming on to talk about our friend, Bryce Miller. And, you know, our thoughts are going to be with you guys and with his family and for all of us. We all lost a piece, you know, over the weekend. Because we've been involved, we've been read him, we've heard him, and he will continue to be a big part of us. And I you know, I did take a second to appreciate Mike Shildt, who opened his press conference today in Peoria by talking about Bryce Miller before he took any questions. Yeah. And that should tell you a little something about the kind of effect that Bryce Miller had. Ryan, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it, and we look forward to catching up to you under better circumstances down the road. Thank you, sir.
Great. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Yes. Very good. Ryan Finley, the sports editor of the San Diego Union-Tribune. Scraby will put that GoFundMe up on the webpage if you still want to contribute. I know.
Actually, I'm going to do it on Twitter.
Twitter. Okay.
Just so people know.
Yeah.
At 97.3 The Fantasy.
All right. That because all of that care for Bryce Miller.
Guess how much has been raised?
Tons of money.
$57,000.
Yeah. So if you got an extra $50... I'm sure the family would appreciate it. We'll keep you up to date also out there on any services pending and what happens in that regard. But I felt empty the last, you know, 48 hours since hearing this news. It really has not been easy. Thanks for being part of that segment with us. We'll get into something a little more fun when we come back. It's called Chris vs. the Fans. It's next, your chance to maybe win a trip to Las Vegas. Stick around on Gwen and Chris.